Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, we hope everyone had a wonderful weekend. Welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm Jason Ross here for another week of episodes here on our podcast. Again, you can follow us on Google Play, on Audio Boom, on Stitcher, and of course, subscribe on iTunes. It is free for you there, and get us each and every day just waiting for you to talk about the Kings and the NBA. Well, since we last did our final podcast of last week, there is some news regarding the Sacramento Kings. Today on the podcast, we'll talk about roster spot number 15, not necessarily meaning it's the last man on the team, but the last addition. We will discuss that. We will also get impressions of the first two games in Las Vegas in Summer League. I was out in Vegas as well for the first game, so discuss what we saw there and much more coming up on today's podcast. But let's start with that first bit of news that came down late on the later part of the week last week, in which the Sacramento Kings, I had addressed when they added George Hill and they added Zach Randolph. I got it. I like the veteran presence. The only question I kind of had was they had, I felt, not ignored, that's not the correct term, but small forward was the position I felt of biggest need for the Sacramento Kings. And I don't know that they completely addressed it, but they did add to it. And they added to it with as big of a name as you can get. Certainly no longer half man, half amazing, but Vince Carter at the age of 40 is the Sacramento King. I just never thought I would say that. I mean, it's an exciting name. He's a great person. He still can play a little bit, wants to play, and the Kings got him at 1 year, $8 million. I don't think it's really that much of an overpay. It doesn't kill their long-term cap. It's 1 year, and interesting, just an interesting name. We knew they had met with him, didn't know if they were going to land him, but ultimately they did, and Vince Carter will be the newest member of the Sacramento Kings. So what did the Kings get in Vince Carter? I think it fits along the line with the other guys that they acquired here recently as far as George Hill and Zach Randolph, veterans that the Kings front office are hoping are really going to produce and help the locker room. I mean, that is exactly what looks like the blueprint is. Go after all these young players, add veterans at a couple of key spots, and see if the veterans, one, can contribute and play. I don't want this to be perceived as, oh, they're just here to teach the young guys how to play. I think the veterans are going to play on this team, but play a little bit as well and be that mentor. Teach the young guys how to play. And I think that's exactly what they got here in Vince Carter. But let's listen back a little bit to what the Kings fans can expect. At what Vince Carter is now at the age of 40, he's become a pretty good three-point shooter.
Zebo faces up with Crawley Stein, gives to Carter, straightaway three, score the basket. That's what Vince Carter does. Most of his shots will be from three-point range. He is 39 years of age until later in the month of January. Here's a drive and a kick. Carter going for three over Barnes, score it, of course. Memphis can't miss right now from downtown. The most three-pointers for Memphis this season is 15. They've just hit 15 as Carter just nailed his third in four attempts. He's now got 11 points. He's one of five in double figures. Kick out pass to Carter to beat the buzzer for three. And as the buzzer sounds, the twine was cracked. Vince Carter hitting the triple. Vince Sanity has 11 points in 12 minutes. Grizzlies regain the lead on top 37-34.
Well, those were highlights just last year of Vince Carter against the Sacramento Kings. Had some good games in the three meetings they had. And Vince, just like anyone else who's been an all-star, he's got a Hall of Fame career going, and the longevity, the production, he can still get up and give you some good highlights too. Think about last year in Memphis. He had that game in March, I believe it was, against Milwaukee, where he went 8-for-8, 6-of-6 beyond the arc, scored 24 points in limited minutes. So he's a guy that Coach Yeager is comfortable with, just like Zach Randolph. He's coached both of those guys. So I just think you're looking at a guy that, one, wanted to be here, still wanted to play, still has something to give and to offer. And I love, I think it was at the end of the regular season or the beginning of the postseason when people were asking Vince Carter about still wanting to play. He said he did want to play. And was he going to be ring chasing? And he said, that's not my thing. And I respect that too. Some guys are just going to look for the opportunity to win a championship. Vince Carter still wants to play. And I think he's going to come to Sacramento and get that opportunity to play. So I think if you just look at what the Kings have done here as far as the last couple of pieces that were added, whether it was George Hill, whether it was Vince Carter or Zach Randolph, kind of a backcourt, a wing, and a frontcourt player to already go with the two most experienced players, Garrett Temple and Kosta Kufis. Kings should have a good locker room. Kings should have good balance, great versatility of lineups. You could play old guys. You could play young guys. You could play big. You could play small. You could play quick. You could play defensive lineups. Again, I'm not projecting, you know, any kind of win total yet on this team, but I just like the collection. It's a really interesting mix. I think the Kings coaching staff is going to have some nights where they're going to, you know, really have fun tinkering with different lineups. Like I said, I think you can really look at a lot of different things, but it's an exciting name to add Vince Carter, Zach Randolph, and George Hill, and the end result, we'll see what it ultimately looks like. But I really took down this exercise, and it's something I think you guys could do as well that are faithful listeners here to the Locked On Kings podcast. I took the 15 guys the Sacramento Kings have, and I tried to do my best to put three guys in each position. Now, I know it's positionless basketball, but we'll see what you think with my list here. But three point guards, three shooting guards, three small forwards, three power forwards, three centers. It's not as clean as it might expect. One position's clean, the others are a little bit difficult. But what I was trying to do was make it as simplistic as I could, almost for the coaches. Not that they're, you know, taking this as their input, but if you've watched NBA for any amount of time, it's nice to have 15 players. You play generally 9, 10. Sometimes you can get to 11. It's hard to get 11 in. 12 or more is really, really difficult. So what I was thinking in my mind, just numbers that came to my head that made it ideal, if you could get three guys at each position and play two of them with one sitting out, that's 10. Two points, two shooting guards, two small forwards, two power forwards, and two centers. It was cleaner in some spots than it was the others, but here's how I labeled it. But I think you could see where maybe it needs some tweaking, or at least one of the positions, it's I don't know who not to play if I'm taking that theory of playing two of the three guys. So first, point guards, George Hill, De'Aaron Fox, Frank Mason. As of today, just today, I would think Hill and Fox get to play the most at the point guard. Mason might prove me wrong, might be different, might be earning those minutes. But as of today, I could see Hill playing the most with De'Aaron Fox getting a lot of opportunity at point guard. At shooting guard, I went Buddy Hield and Bogdan Bogdanovic. And then I also put Garrett Temple there. I know Temple's going to play, so I'm not leaving him out. That's been the trickiest spot, the two position. And maybe Temple plays more three or Bogdanovic or Hield. But those are the three people I put at shooting guard on this team. I've moved Malachi to the small forward along with Vince Carter and Justin Jackson. So Richardson, Carter, and Jackson, probably two of those three will get to play. Maybe all three of them get to play, but that's going to be difficult. Power forwards, I went Willie Cauley-Stein, Scalabissiere, and I put Harry Giles there. Harry Giles is not playing in summer league, and I could see them really taking their time with him, getting him fully comfortable. He may be more of a center, but I put him at the power forward as well. And then centers, I put Kosta Kufis, Zach Randolph, and Yorgos Papayannis. And Papayannis is one I could see not getting much opportunity to play. So how do you play all those guys? Good problem to have. And at the beginning of the year, when you're not worried about what your playoff seeding might be or what minutes you're trying to protect for the future, the beginning of the year, you're trying to win. Dave Yeager is going to try to win as many games as he can, even if preseason publications come out and experts predict the Kings to be dead last in the West or 13th out of 15, winning 25 games. It doesn't matter what the people say. He's going to try to win every game possible. I think their best chance early on and for the most part of the season is to play guys that you know that have gotten it done in the NBA, and that's veterans. Not that rookies can't play, but I really could see at the point guard position, George Hill playing the more minutes than De'Aaron Fox. Fox will play, but George Hill will probably play more. Shooting guard, The most experienced guy there is Garrett Temple. I know Coach likes him. I know he'd like him on the floor. But Buddy Hield was really strong in the final 25 games. Bogdanovich comes over with some pretty high expectations. So I think it's going to be hard to play all three, but I think all three will get an opportunity to play. The small forward position is still the one that's the most incomplete to me, but Vince Carter can play, has played for many years in this league and still can produce, but I don't see him playing major, major minutes. Malachi Richardson is still really in his infancy in his career, and then Justin Jackson's a rookie. So that's maybe the most incomplete position, so maybe I should move one of those rookies or Jackson or Richardson to the two, even though Jackson really is a three, and Temple to the three, but just for my chart, that's the way I have it, and that's the position I could see that really gets fluctuated. Willie Cauley-Stein and Scal are going to play. Giles, I don't know that that will happen, and then the center position, Costa and Randolph will play. They may play together like they did some in Memphis, and then Papayannis, I just don't know that he'll be playing that much at the beginning of the year. So, again, I think coaches get comfortable. You're usually the security blanket is playing veterans, and I could see that happening a lot at the beginning. All right, now I want to tell you about Summer League. We had a chance to go to Las Vegas, was there for Thursday, Friday, came back Saturday. So I was back for the game Sunday, watched that one on television. Of course, the Kings are going to play Monday night against the Lakers in the final of the first part of Summer League. Then they'll get seeded into the tournament that begins middle of the week in Las Vegas. Vegas is always fun for me. I like to go to the city for one, but Summer League, if you have never been, I would encourage you to go. It's just a different experience. The way it's set up between Thomas and Mack Center and Cox Pavilion, they're attached to each other. It's just a basketball frenzy, game after game after game, and you see so many people in just a different setting, much more relaxed atmosphere. You know, it's just different seeing different coaches, younger coaches or assistants getting an opportunity to coach games. Coaches there in, you know, polo shirts and shorts, players kind of getting that experience. And you're seeing a wide variety of players, too. You might see a guy like I saw Kendall Marshall playing for the Clippers, who's been around the NBA, been drafted, been on several teams. He's just trying to get his name back in there compared to rookies that are playing all over the place. So it's just a fun experience. You'll run into people. You'll see a lot of NBA types. And I would encourage you, if you ever get a chance, again, it's not the best basketball you'll ever see, but it's just fun. It's a different kind of atmosphere. And so much so, the first game I saw when I was there was Friday, the game right before the Kings. It was the Clippers and the Lakers, and the energy in the building was incredible. I mean, it really was. For a summer league game, a lot of Laker fans, a lot of them to see Lonzo Ball, who did not have a very good game his first game. LaVar Ball was there. People were talking about him and watching him and but it's just great energy. The Laker fans that were there brought it. Ball didn't have a very good game. Clippers ended up winning that. Ball then responded his next game with a triple-double. But just the energy. Then the Kings played the Suns. And seeing that one in person, what stood out to me in the very first game of the Kings was, honestly, I thought the three rookies that played really well. Giles has been held out, as I said, will not play in Summer League. But so I'm watching Mason, I'm watching Fox, and I'm watching Justin Jackson. Those two in the first game, or those three, excuse me, played well. And honestly, I think outplayed the second-year player. So what was positive was how well the young guys played. What was a little bit concerning, at least for the first game, and overall, none of this is going to be that alarming, but I didn't think Scal, Buddy, or Papayannis played very well on Friday night. Malachi was okay. Malachi did some good things. But those second-year guys didn't really shine, and you'd expect a full year of NBA basketball, a second summer league, that you'd expect them to really thrive. I didn't think they did in the first game in Vegas. But the guys that stood out, I like that Mason and Fox played together some. I really like that combo. I know Jason March, who's the head coach of the team during the summer league, didn't expect to play that group together much, but they did a little bit. It looked fun to me, and Fox off the ball was encouraging. And then just kind of one by one, if I start with Mason, looked comfortable at least Friday night, looked quick. The speed was just fine, made some plays, had some good passes. His court awareness and skill set is pretty strong there. Justin Jackson, I thought, was a pleasant surprise, at least on Friday night. Made a ton of shots, his mid-range game, the floater, his touch. Just looked poised. I mean, he really did. You could tell the extra year in college has paid off for him. And then, you know, the highest pick is De'Aaron Fox. And everybody wants to see what he can do, what expectations. Man, is he quick. He is so quick with the basketball. The play he made at the end of the third quarter was as good as you'll see at any level. He got an inbound with probably under about 6-5 seconds, shook a guy, went coast to coast, threw one. Obviously, he's left-handed, but threw it with his left hand, favored that side so he could get the shot off that he wanted, threw it high off the window and in to beat the quarter clock. Just tremendous skill in that play that he made. So De'Aaron Fox certainly looked good in his first game, his quickness. And, you know, I mentioned that Papagiannis wasn't that strong or that good in the game, but he showed a presence. He's got this weird beef with Marquese Chriss, so those two guys got after a little bit. But he's going to show his physical presence, and that's what he's going to have to do when he's on the court. I just don't know how much he'll be on the court. And still the other little sidebar of Summer League that I've never quite understood is the foul situation. They give you, you're allowed to have 10 fouls. I don't know why they do that. I know they just want guys to play, I guess, but I think Marquese Chriss had 8 fouls. Papagiannis had 8 or 9. I don't think that's teaching the guys how to defend without fouling. It's just, oh, well, doesn't matter. I got 4. I'll stay in. I got 6. I'll keep playing. I got 8. It's just a strange premise, but that's what Summer League allows you to do. I remember years ago going to the Kings Summer League, and Hassan Whiteside would foul out with 10 fouls a lot. It was crazy. But then you go to the Sunday game. Kings lost that one too, and I never care about the wins and losses in Summer League. I really don't in the preseason either. You just want to see how the individuals look. A little bit more of the same. Scal was better, certainly, on the game on Sunday night. De'Aaron Fox was very good, very solid. They got contributions from a few other players. Kings were down big, then they rallied, ultimately lost to Memphis. Jakar Sampson played well. The other guy that's really stood out in two games, and this is the part of Summer League that can be fun, is Jack Cooley. And there were great Cooley chants going on Friday night in Thomas and Mack, and more of them going on in Cox Pavilion on Sunday. And it's too bad there's really not a roster spot for him, but he is the kind of guy that people find in Summer League. Played at Notre Dame, and he just plays hard and is attracted to the ball. He finds a way to get it, fights in traffic. He's a great rebounder, just a physical presence, and he was nice to watch and just reward an effort like that. It was encouraging to see what he's able to do. So those are the kind of things you get at Summer League, but Buddy Hield could not make a shot on Friday, didn't make many on Sunday. Justin Jackson went through those growing pains, missed hardly anything on Friday night, couldn't make anything on Sunday. De'Aaron Fox was good again, and like I said, Scal was good again. But they'll have another one Monday against the Lakers, and we'll evaluate that one as well. But all in all, I still say it's an exciting time to be a Kings fan. They've made it through the draft. They've made it through free agency. Summer League is here. And then it's about everybody working out, getting better, getting ready for the long grind of the season, which will be here before you know it. But Summer League so far has been fun, and we'll see what they do against the Lakers on Monday night. But Vince Carter makes 15, so the roster, at least at this moment, seems to be set with Hill, Fox, Mason, Heal, Bogdanovich, Temple, Carter, Richardson, Jackson, Cauley-Stein, LaBissiere, Giles, Kufis, Randolph, and Papagiannis. So we shall see how it all unfolds, but thank you so much for listening to another edition of Locked On Kings. Just getting started for the week. We'll be back with more each and every day, Monday through Friday here, and guests to come up in the week as well. So thank you so much for listening. Back again tomorrow for another edition of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.